Welcome back to the Tyrell and Jamal Show. If this is your first time tuning in, I'm your host, author Tyrell, and with me is my co-host,
Jamal.
Today's show is sponsored by Restore. Their shea butter lotion delivers 500 milligrams of pure CBD with less than 0.03% THC. Apply a pump from their 250 milliliter bottle to a sore area on your body after hitting the gym, track, or even day-to-day life. If you would like to purchase some, use our link in description and continue to keep moving. What's going on, man? What's up, Jamal?
Nothing much. Another day, another week. Done. What about you?
Man, same thing, man. Same thing, man. Just a lot going on. Man, just moving forward, pushing through. Man, little man started baseball this past couple weeks.
Yeah, I remember telling me about that.
Yeah, man.
How was that going?
Man, he's doing good. Man, like when he first started, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you a long story. And everything goes perfect with our topic today. But when he first started, first baseball practice, they throwing the ball, playing pitch and catch. And the ball hits him in the face. I'm like, oh, here we go. This is the moment I was waiting for because mm-hmm. I knew it was going to happen. Hit him in the face. He started crying. I don't want to play baseball anymore. I don't want to play. I don't like this. I was like, son, look, are you hurt? No. Are you bleeding? No. Is anything broken? No. All right, let's go, man. Like, you made a commitment to play baseball, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, I'm okay. So, you know, he went to playing and he pushed through. So with that being said, today we're going to talk about it's the commitments you make. No matter how old, no matter how young, no matter what it is, something as simple as baseball, it's the commitments you make. But going back to the baseball story, man, when he first started, his swing was off. He was closing his eyes when he was batting. And now it's like, man, he's going to be the next Jackie Robinson. You know, like he's getting better. We've been practicing, going to the field, playing pitch and catch. You know, he still can't catch, but it's his first year. So
it's that mind trigger, I think, because after that ball hit him, he was like, I got two options. Either just leave or I'm going to get out here and I have to conquer this. But after his brain normalized, like the ball is okay. Like
right.
After they're throwing it and not throwing it to hurt me, it's throwing just to have fun.
Right.
Then I think he's figuring it out. Like, okay, it feels good.
Right.
I'm all right. The ball's not out to get me.
Right.
Because I ain't going to lie, I've done that too. When I played baseball, I think every sport, I probably got hit in the head with something.
Got to.
Basketball.
You got
came
to.
Out of nowhere. Boom.
Got to.
Then you sit there and think, you're like, man. Should I be coming out here and play? I don't want to play no more. I'm good.
And I feel sorry for the football. When you 6 years old and you...
Oh, yeah, football. You get
and you getting popped by somebody who's been playing football 2 years longer than you.
I just lay down. I'm like, listen, man, I'm going to soak this up. This ain't going to happen. Especially in high school, man. You got... Like, in high school, I was small. So most of them high schoolers, I don't know what they were eating.
Man.
And there's some big high schoolers.
They ain't going to pop you, boy.
When they come at you, you be like, dude, look, calm down, man.
Right.
Grown man.
Right. But yeah, man, he's definitely doing better, man. Like, he's running the bases. Man, yeah. And if not baseball, he's mm-hmm. definitely going to run track because he's fast.
Good.
At six years old, he knows how to get around them bases. So he might not pitch, he might not hit, but mm-hmm. hey, coach, use him as a pitch runner.
Yep, exactly.
Let sub somebody out. Let mm-hmm. him run these bases and get a point.
Yep.
So you know it's good that he's sticking to it.
Dude, baseball is a good sport too. Because like if he takes it to like the major leagues, he's guaranteed his money at least.
Right. And that's what I was telling him too. I'm like, bro, you don't. Besides getting hit by the baseball or probably getting ran over at home plate, you know, like it's
you.
And I'm not afraid of contact because you know I play basketball and football mm-hmm. too. But if he doesn't want to play those contact sports. Baseball players make way more money anyways.
Yep.
So you know, go
like nothing against the NFL and stuff, but like if he got hurt, he still get paid. If they say $32 million, he got $32 million.
Yep.
It's staying right there.
And that's the content I'm trying to put in his mind early. Like
if he keeps
whatever you do,
it.
Make sure you get your money mm-hmm. up front and after.
Yep.
So if you get hurt, you still getting paid. Mm-hmm. If you get injured, you still getting paid. Like it's you make sure you get that guaranteed money.
Yeah.
So no matter what it is, even like with his building. If you're an architect and you build a house,
mm-hmm.
you getting paid. They gonna pay you something up front, and they gonna pay you something afterwards. So you know, just putting that same commitment in him, mm-hmm. whether it's sports or whether it's what you know whatever his career is. So
it's come to a book that I've been reading lately, and kind of like telling him, like you said, keep telling him, putting it in his head, telling mm-hmm. him he's doing his best and everything, because he's gonna stick that in his head as he's playing.
Right.
He does his best.
Right.
What you should do is go to like, I don't know. Dick's Sporting Goods or something and be like, this bat right here, man, made me hit every single home run.
Right.
But when you think about that, he's like, oh, okay, so every single home run, then that he going to have more faith in himself as he has in that bat and playing his baseball and stuff too. That trigger.
And it's funny you said that because the bat he has now, mm-hmm. I think, is a 24-inch.
Okay.
And one of the kids on the team uses a 28, and mm-hmm. he hits every single time. And he started using his bat the last two games. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, the last game. And he was like, I want a 28 bat because I'm going to hit better with a 28. He didn't hit with the 28 bat. But
he's seen someone else hit better with 28, exactly. So he knows, like, exactly. All right, that 28 so is going to be better.
He already has it instilled. Like, mm-hmm. he's hitting with a 28. I could hit with a 28, too. And he said, he's like, I could hit with a 28. And I was like, you haven't even hit the ball yet. And he was like, I can hit with a 28. And I just stopped. I'm like, I'm not going to deter him from what mm-hmm. he believes already.
Because if you do, he's going to be like, dang.
Right.
If I get a 28, then I'm going to hit nothing. Let me stick with this 24. Yep. I ain't going to lie. I think that does make a difference.
It does. It does.
When I played baseball, I was like, man, it's 24. It's short. Like, I feel like I'm swinging and I'm not hitting
and
nothing.
That's what he said, too. I'm like, how do you know about a short and long bat? Yeah. But
I feel like I'm swinging with a straw or something.
Kids know. And not even that. Even like, if I be like, look, man, you're not listening. Mm-hmm. I am listening. I'm like, Let me let him think that he is listening, mm-hmm. so that he understands within himself that he does understand how mm-hmm. to listen. And how we speak to people, rather than saying you don't listen or you can't do that, like you said, that trigger.
Yeah.
It triggers something in them to mm-hmm. make them think, damn, my daddy always telling me this, or my mom always telling me this, or my friends tell me I'm bad or I'm sorry. Like, that's how people start to believe in those negative things, because somebody that they look up to,
yep.
or somebody that they're close to tells them something so constant, like, look, son, you can't do this. Because they believe it.
His belief system is going to come from y'all.
Right.
Because y'all are the ones he's around mostly. So what you believe in is what he's going to believe
in. Exactly.
So if you start to say, I believe, son, that you're going to become this, then he's going to be like, I believe I'm going to become this.
Yep.
So any other kid or something that's going to be like, hey, you're not good at baseball, they can be like, I believe I'm good at this.
Right.
He's still going to say it. Still going to be sticking his head.
Yep.
So as long as that belief system has to be super strong.
Yep. And that's good, too, because even before his first game, before his first practice,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to watch some type of baseball game with, you know, a movie with him so he understands, you know, a little bit more how it's played. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we research baseball. We research, you know, things like that. But we started watching Jackie Robinson, 42, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. 42, that's a good movie.
It is. It's an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. It teaches you way more about baseball. Mm-hmm. But when we started watching it, I was like, this ain't a kid movie. But
it's just for a certain age.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I wanted him to watch it more for the baseball aspect mm-hmm. of it. But even besides that, when we was watching it, I cut it off because it was a little bit more too movie-like. And he was like, I want to be like Jackie Robinson because Jackie Robinson's good. And dude, we barely amazing. Even watched the whole movie. So, like you said, that trigger already was mm-hmm. like,
cause the human
I'm
going to
be like him.
Yep. Because the human mind was like, he put himself in Jackie Robinson's spot. Because kids' imagination and their brain is already thinking like, hey, I'm putting me in that spot.
Yep.
And so while he was watching that movie, he probably seen him swinging the bat
yep.
like Jackie Robinson.
Yep.
So he had his whole mentality was saying, like, this is me right here playing baseball.
Yep.
And that's amazing that he looked at it like that.
And you know the best part about it, when I said how he runs them bases?
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Robinson was a hell of a base runner. Mm-hmm. So I believe he sees Jackie running the bases.
Jackie Robinson was tall, too.
Man, Kingston's going to be tall.
Yeah.
You see how long his legs is mm-hmm. at 6 years old? He's going to be tall.
Man, almost he was sitting on the couch, almost touched the floor.
Man, right. yeah. Right. So he's already instilling, you know, he has that commitment within himself mm-hmm. already based on how he speaks about himself, everything mm-hmm. like that.
That's
so,
really good. That's very, very good.
It is. So that's the beginning of it's the commitments you make based off of a 6-year-old,
mm-hmm.
which is great, but now when it comes to us as adults, you know, when we make a commitment, how do we see it through? Like, how do we see our own personal commitments? Rather, it's just say at work, for me, for instance, a commitment for me is sometimes I'm like, man, I don't want to go to work today.
Mm-hmm.
But I know work is paying for every one of my entrepreneurships. It's paying for the podcast. It's paying for every book that I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you make a commitment when you're like, I'm just tired of doing this, but you know you already made a commitment to do something else based off of what you're already doing? How do we make our own personal commitments, whether it's work, fitness, or whatever? How do we make those commitments and stick to them?
Well, I believe it's the mentality of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you put in here, like you said, The reason why I go to work, you have a reason why you go to work.
Right.
It's not just because you got to go to work and like, oh, okay, I enjoy work.
Right.
But you do that work because you got an alternative motive to get your entrepreneurial businesses up.
Right.
So that's why you have a commitment to the job, because the job is having another commitment somewhere else. So it's branching off. I don't know. Some people use... It's so many distractions in the world, so they try to use that commitment as, oh, man, I'm going to follow through with this commitment because here another day is, like you said, I'm tired of going to work. So they drop off work, and all the other stuff that was going to be lined up on the side drops off too.
Right, right. Man, that's good.
So, yeah, I think that's one thing. How I see it through is the same way you say, I go to work for a reason. Like, I work at a gym now. I want to open up a gym.
Mm-hmm.
I have a clothing brand that's going to be a revolver in the gym.
Right.
So that meets at each other.
Ties in.
I'm at the gym with people that work out at the gym all the time. So they talk to me. That correlates. So that's why I like going to work. Also, the podcast, Life and Fitness, that's another avenue.
Right.
So people listen. So it's just a lot when you have certain jobs. But I think, again, like, it's just the mentality. What you put in your head and what you think of, as long as you stay focused on it. Like, I just created a vision board. As long as you... keep seeing it in your face, or you keep having it in your face, knowing what you're going to work for, then that commitment still stays around.
So with everything that you just said, does it make it easier to see it through, or does it just make the process a little bit more relatable? If that makes a little bit more sense, like does that knowing that you have alternatives, does it make it a lot more easy to see those commitments through? Especially when times are tough, or when nothing's moving with the clothing line, or when you're not, you know, having that many clients, like, do you still see it through? Because before you got to that rough patch, you was like, this is what I'm gonna do.
That's true.
This is not only am I passionate about this, but this is my purpose. Because, you know, sometimes people see passion, but passion fades.
Yeah.
But purpose is that commitment. Because some days you ain't gonna want to train, but that's your purpose. You know. So how do you see that through? Even during that rough patch.
Excuse me. Sometimes I do. I try to. That's my... I really do try to. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to calm down, because it's like a chemical imbalance when something happens. Like, we get... it's like a runner's high when you get excited because everything's going right.
Right.
So that runner's high in our head is like, man, we're doing great. I'm doing fine. I'm gonna roll. But when that block comes, then you have anxiety and everything, because you're like, man, like, I don't know what else is going to happen after this. Then you start backtracking. You start backtracking again. Your brain starts to throw in doubts.
Yep.
And, I forgot what the chemical it was said in your head. I've been reading this book about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's something that switches off a little bit in your brain. So you flip back into doubt.
Right.
So you have to really control your mind. Sit back. Like we talked about in episode 1, I think, or 2.
Right.
Sit outside and see nature. Slow your brain down. Because... that's why we think so far and get anxiety, because we're thinking in the future, trying to look around that roadblock.
Right.
So when that roadblock comes, just let it happen. Think about it a different way, but also just, not thinking about it a different way. Just, I guess, sit down, soak in it a little bit, but then also just sit, relax, think about your alternative, then come back to it.
Right.
So when that roadblock comes, I see it through. It just depends on what it is.
I got you.
Because some just come bigger than others.
Right.
That's all.
And that's the thing too. Like, you're always gonna have some type of a test when you make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Just say marriage, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a commitment to date that your spouse, or even once you propose to your spouse, there's going to be some type of roadblock. There's going to, like you said, there's going to be some type of distraction that's going to come your way to see if you're truly committed.
Mm-hmm.
Rather it's a woman, rather it's a man, rather it's bills not being able to be paid. It's going to be something that happens.
Always.
To test your will, your strength, your willpower, and your faith, and your commitment to say, are you truly committed? And not only marriage, but your goals and your dreams and whatever, your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, I'm going to be the best parent I can be when I have my child. But when your child comes and they don't listen to you, or they're acting up in school, or they're not getting good grades, like, how do you commit to being that great parent still?
And because see, that's that thing I was saying. People, we think so far ahead, because I was just reading about this. That was in, I think, chapter 2 or something like that. But we think so far ahead, so our brains create what we want to see. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, we're gonna be a great father. they're going to listen to it. They're going to be good. They're going to do this. Then you get the kid and they do everything you didn't prepare for. So you're prepared for the good path that your brain just paved. But then something else happens. You're like, oh, crap. I didn't even think about this.
Right.
So I think when you come to commitments, think about the bad. Think about the good, too. But think about what could go wrong as well. So that way, when it comes, you know, all right, I kind of knew this was going to happen already. Sit back, relax. I can figure this out. You find an alternative.
That's funny you say that because my wife is that type of person. She likes to think about the bad things more than ever. I'm like, bro, like, don't think.
I'm thinking more on it.
You're right. You know, you do want to think about the pros and the cons, but don't let the cons outweigh your pros all the time.
Don't do that.
Like, you know, like,
just know they'll happen, but don't be like, all right, I want them to happen this bad. I'm going to focus on them. No.
Yeah. Because then you're going to focus on them cons all the time, and that's all you're going to see is nothing but cons. Nothing but just barrier. Nothing but hurdle. Nothing but barricade. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, dang, where are all these good things? When am I going to get my blessings? Like,
but that's kind of good.
You're not thinking about the blessings. Mm-hmm. You're only thinking about these failures and these disappointments. So,
but not to get off the path. You think that's kind of like a good thing that she sees that and tries to go towards that? Because she makes herself uncomfortable but make challenges for herself?
I do. And not even that, because she's a great person to overcome those things. Because like I said, when she makes a commitment, she's gonna see it through.
So she's super tough on her commitment.
So she is. She's in it. She is. Yeah. So, but not even that. Like, God put me and her together for a reason. Mm-hmm. Because she sees the cons, I see the pros.
Yep.
So we balance each other out perfectly. So if she sees something that possibly could happen, I come back and counteract it with what possibly couldn't go right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, and she's like, okay, you're right. But now we're planning for both of them.
Yeah.
Instead of her just trying to plan for the negative, I come up with the positive, and now we're planning for both of them together.
That's so super dope, though. Yeah. Like, her taking on those hurdles head on, like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and just go for them and keep going. That's a tough mentality right there. So that means she can't get off any kind. Nobody can jump her off anything.
She's strong, man. That's why I love her. Like, she's strong with her commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And it only, like, I'm strong with mine too, but it only makes me stronger. When you have a woman that's strong,
yeah.
Like, you got, it's like, especially men, you're like, man, my woman can't be Superwoman and I'm not Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's no way she's going to be that strong and I'm sitting up here pouting because I had a bad day. You know, like, man up, man.
Yeah.
Man up.
She came in and said, I already looked at my bad day in the face from this morning. I'm like, dang, okay, my bad. I mean,
so, you know, it's a good thing, man. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, but also, too, I just want to say, like, how does that change your perspective of yourself when you do see your commitments through or when you don't see them through? Like, if you made a commitment and you're just like, man, I cannot do this, or this commitment was harder than I thought it was going to be in the beginning, and you give up, or even to say you do quit.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change your perspective of yourself? Does that make you seem like you're a failure or you're a quitter? Or do you just readjust yourself and say, okay, next time I'll make a smaller commitment, see that through, and then accomplish something bigger? Like, how do you mentally prepare for something like that if you don't see your commitments through?
All right. I don't want to step on nobody's toes when I say this, but
normally when you say that, they're stepping on toes.
Well, when you don't see a commitment through, your self-esteem lowers.
Right.
Your confidence lowers because you're not making a promise to yourself. You're going to keep looking at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, I'm going to do this. And then you don't do it. Like, I'm doing this 75-day hard challenge. It's read 10 pages a day.
Okay.
A gallon of water a day. Two workouts, one got to be outside, no cheat meals for 75 days. I'm on day 5, and I kept starting over until I heard this podcast. He said, man, just stop lying to yourself. If you're not going to do it, don't do it. Right. Just stop. He's like, if you're not going to, I run 7 businesses, and I still find the time to do this. And I was like, dude, that's right. I ain't even got 7 businesses right now, and I can still do this. So I've been doing it, and last night, I was laying down. I was about to go to sleep. And I was like, all right, I already drunk my gallon, worked out twice. Of course, no cheat meals.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't read my book. And the book was sitting in front of me. I was like, man, I'm tired. I'm just going to go to sleep. I looked at the book, and I just couldn't fall asleep because I'm already on day 5. Because if you don't, if you fall off one of those, you got to start back over from day 1.
That's good, too.
I sat there, and I looked, and I ain't going to lie, Carrie looked at me and looked over. I was like, you know what? I turned the light back on. I was like, I
got
to read this book.
Got to.
I can't start over. I done good yesterday. I drank that gallon before 6 o'clock p.m. Like, I was killing it. So I was like, dude, I get up and read this book. It's not going to hurt me.
Right.
So doing that commitment or these few days already have taught me a lot. And it, you learn a lot about yourself. You be like, I can commit to this. I can commit to anything.
Right.
Reading that book or just getting up doing that made me feel good. Because I'm like, all right, yeah, I was tired, but I still read the book. And I'm glad I got up and read that book. That commitment of sitting up while I was still already comfortable, reading the book, and then going back to sleep was even better than better than just sitting around and be like, whatever. Because in my head, I was like, I'm going to start from day one. I don't care. But then in my head, I'm already at day five. So my subconscious mind was like, dude, you already this far in. Come
right.
on, get up.
Keep going. Right.
So I think when you don't see a commitment through, because if I would have started at day one, right now I would have been like, come on, dude, I did all this work already. Gotcha. Then I would have been talking myself down in my head like, come on, you gave up. You started at day one.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that podcast would have replayed in my head like, you ain't nothing. I got seven businesses and you can't do it because right. you want to fall asleep and go right. to, and because you were tired.
Right.
So when you see a commitment, I think people should see it through. Like you said, though, start small. So if it's committing to, I don't know, organizing your kitchen or something, keep it organized.
Right.
Keep it organized every single day. Same spot every time or something like that. And then it get bigger and bigger. Or just like if you're going to the gym. Once you get to the gym, it's easy. It's just going to the gym right. pretty much.
Getting up, putting that time in, putting the clothes on, getting in the car.
So you just get there. Go and work out. I mean, just commit to something. Find something that's going to motivate you and stay to it. Because, like I said, it does affect your self-esteem, your confidence. But once you get through them couple of days, you can be like, man, I already made it through these couple of days. I can't stop now.
Right.
You can't stop right. me at all.
Right.
Even when other people come towards you and say, hey, let's go do this. You're like, nah, I got a commitment. I got to go to the gym.
Right.
You feel good. And that you, when you tell them that or something, they're going to be like, I see the commitment this person had. I'm going to do the same.
Yeah.
I'm going to try.
It makes them want to do it too.
Because it plants a seed. And like I said, that confidence, you can walk around and be like, I know I killed my day. I've been doing this for like 3 weeks now. I'm killing it. I'm doing going at it. So I really think commitments are important for your self-esteem and confidence.
True.
You got to keep on it.
True. And what you said about sleep, mm-hmm. sleep is the biggest disease
mm-hmm.
of not sticking to a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, it's waking up early in the morning, sleep going to get you.
Yeah.
Rather, it's like you said, reading them 10 pages before it's time to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Sleep going
to
get you.
But I'm trying to wake up at 6 a.m. now. Not trying. I'm doing. Because when that alarm clock goes off, usually I try to sit there and be like, all right, I get it. But now I've been throwing myself out of bed. Like, I literally throw my legs up and I'm like, all right, I'm up. I got to stay up. Let's go. Let's go.
Got to. Got to. And I'm good. I'm glad you're on when did the 75-day challenge?
75-day
hard count. When did it start?
It started a while ago. I started mine Monday.
Monday? So mm-hmm. so basically like May. Basically in May.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a 90 days. This started back in April.
Mm-hmm.
90 days committed to excellence lifestyle change.
Oh, yep. I remember telling you
about that. Basically what the 90 days committed to excellence is for any avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Rather it's being a better parent, rather it's, you know, fixing your finances, your credit, fitness, whatever it is, it's just being committed to 90 days to doing something every single day, focusing on that one specific goal.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's dealing with my books and my business. So I'm doing a blog, I'm writing a blog post every day. I'm doing something with the book every day. I'm reading a book, you know, whether it's my own personal book or another book every day. I'm writing notes. I'm jotting down something every single day so that within the 90 days,
mm-hmm.
I was committed to doing something faithfully, committed to my business. And I already seen so many things, even outside of my business,
starting
prosper
and come back
and starting to open up the floodgates because mm-hmm. I'm committed to something totally all the way in. And man, like when you stick to a commitment, like, other blessings will start coming to you because it's mm-hmm. like the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, is like, okay, you're faithful.
Yep.
So since you're faithful to this, something that's so small and so meaningless to other people, but mm-hmm. is powerful to you, I'm going to give you this blessing here.
And then how does that make you feel, though? Like,
man, it's good, man. Yeah,
you learn a lot about yourself when you stay committed to something
man,
like that.
It's a beautiful feeling when you like I said, when this small little thing that I'm committed to, just writing a note or writing a scripture every day. That's something so small. Doing that for 90 days and doing that, this is going to happen, or this blessing is going to happen, or mm-hmm. this door is going to open up. Man, it up, like you said, it just uplifts you. and it makes you say, man, I gotta keep going.
Because even though that's something small that you did, like you think it's small, but I mean, not to say bad, like you think it's small, but it's actually bigger than right. the picture that you see exactly. on the side. Like,
exactly.
God has certain doors. He's like, all right, you're doing this. I see it. That's good. Go ahead and open the door. You might not see it yet, but it's out there. Yeah. It's happening. So something's way bigger. Even that small step.
Yep.
Opening something way bigger. You just got to focus on what you have now. Because if you, like I said, you think too far in the future, then you're like, all right, listen, I'm going to freak out, start having anxiety. But that's good that you're, you know, sticking to it and you keep doing it every single day.
Right.
That's
got yeah. to. You got to, man. You got to. And with that being said, everything that we've said so far are commitments necessary for everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
They are. It's yeah. just that simple. Yes.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it has to be. Because you're committed to get up. You got to go to work. Like you said.
Good point.
My work got to pay the bills, but you got to be committed to also be better yourself too. Like better yourself somehow. Read a book, read an article. You on your phone all the time. There's audio books or something.
Yeah.
Find something to commit to and just stick to it. See it out. Don't think you're going to have like overnight change or something right then and there.
Right.
But just stay committed to it. Don't think so far ahead. Think about where you are now and how it makes you feel at the time. And like you said, start small. That small will be lead up to something big. Just don't think about the big one right at the time.
Right.
Focus on that small one. Keep going until you got it done. Like you said, something for like 90 days. I think, what, it's 60 days to make something a habit or something like that?
21 days.
21 days 21 to make something days. A habit. So, yeah.
Just 90 do something days for to make it a lifestyle. Habit.
Yep.
Lifestyle change. Yep.
After 21 days, you can be like, this was easy. Like, yeah. Now it's a habit. Because it's forced in nature. Like, in your mind, you can be like, if I don't do it, now I'm going to feel weird. Especially right. after you do it for that long.
Right.
Like, these 5 days after I got through, or yesterday was day 4. But even with those 4 days, if I would have stopped, I would have felt weird. That's why I had to read that book. Because I was like, all right, now I feel weird if I don't read it. Now I start back over again.
Right.
So now it's just every day.
Faithfully.
Yep. Because I fill up my jug in the morning, start drinking. Go ahead and get my book read. Sometimes I do read twice, but I'm just saying, like, as soon as I start falling off, like last night, if I was going to go to sleep, it made me feel weird if right. I would have started back over.
Right.
Like you just feel like you fail yourself. But yeah, just start small, I guess. I think that's pretty much it.
I was talking to a trainer maybe 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, we were talking about the same conversation right here about commitments.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me why most, you know, clients or, you know, just individuals in general do not meet their fitness goals. And I was like, you know, I understand why, you know, most people, they just give up when they don't see results.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, the biggest reason most people don't meet their fitness goals is one, because of the scale, especially women. Mm-hmm. He said most women want to constantly get on the scale and they don't see that number changing or they see it getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, man, this isn't working. Like I'm doing all this work and nothing is changing. And he was like, don't get on the scale. Mm-hmm. Men too. He was like, don't get on the scale, but measure yourself with a tape. And I was like, that's a good point. A lot of women don't see the changes because mm-hmm. they're not looking at themselves physically, but they're looking at what that scale says.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're basing their results off of what other people are saying. So somebody might come to them and say, you look exactly the same, but they've been in the gym for 2 weeks, not knowing, no, my thighs have tightened up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
or my arms have defined a little bit, but you're not looking at yourself. You're looking at the opinions and the words of others or what that scale is saying.
It's because their brain created another reality. Like, all right, I'm going to work out with this guy, and in 2 weeks, I'm going to be fit.
Right.
Their brain created that, but then when someone comes and actually in this reality say, hey, you look exactly the same, then it knocks them down. Like, oh, yep. Man, come on now. Because that's why I've been learning about wording. Instead of coming to somebody and say, do better, or you can do better, be like, hey, you can do your best, or you're doing your best that you can, but this is where we can start working harder on. Same thing, like you said, with the scale. Don't get on a scale, because their mind is already thinking, you know what? I think I'm this weight. They get up there, already that disappointment was already yep. in their head, because they put yep. this certain weight in there. That's why I just tell, like you said, measure yourself with that. That's right. why I never thought about measuring.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither. Like, I don't get on the scale either, but when he said measure yourself, mm-hmm. he was like, you really could see the results. You know, if you're a man and you want bigger biceps, measure mm-hmm. your arms. and then measure your arms in 5 days, seven mm-hmm. days. He said, you'll see the results that way. Then trying to look in the mirror to see if you see bigger arms or if you see definition.
Because we see ourselves totally different.
Exactly.
Very different. We hear ourselves different, see ourselves different. And you see yourself every day, so you're not going to see the change right away.
Exactly. Yep. Like, even like last night, the wife was like, man, you looking a little buff over there. Mm-hmm. I was like, where? But I was, at the same time, I was like, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, because that was words of encouragement that I needed to hear, that mm-hmm. my soul needed to hear to say, keep doing what you're doing. Like, yep. Obviously, it's paying off. But at the same time, I'm not looking for outside gratification. Mm-hmm. I'm working out because it makes me feel good.
Yep.
It makes me feel, you know, releasing that anxiety, that depression, even if it is, even if none of that is physically in my life,
but you just,
it's still getting mm-hmm. out of me because I'm putting in work in a positive way.
So but see, your subconscious mind, when she said that, it stuck in your head. Right. So now when you work out, it's going to be like, all right, I'm doing good. I'm going to keep pushing harder. Right. So you're going to find different avenues to push yourself.
That's true too.
You never noticed that, but like it happens. It happens. It switches. So that's pretty cool.
And that is good too, because it's a guy that I know in the gym, and he says the same thing too. Like, people come to him like, man, you look good today, man. Like, you lost a lot of weight. And he says, he's like, I look at myself and be like, where do you see these results?
But he still come back to the gym though. And
faithfully,
and that's the thing.
Faithfully, mm-hmm. and he loves it. I mean, when we talk about the gym, he's like, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love going to the gym. I did this today. I don't even like doing this. And he's like, I did this today. And I don't even like doing that. But he was mm-hmm. like, it's the commitment's there, regardless of whether he see the results or not. He's mm-hmm. committed to doing something that, one, he loves, and two, eventually he will see those results, yep. or I will see those results. But I'm not going to the gym to get. I'm not a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. I'm not competing, so I don't care about what. I do care, you know. I want results because I don't want to go to the gym and not get no results. Mm-hmm. But I'm not physically looking in the mirror every day and like, I look good today. Yeah. You know, that's not the reason why, but. It's still a uplifting thing to go in there, release all that negative mm-hmm. energy that's inside of you from work, outside people, whatever that was attached to you. Like I said before, just leave it all on the weights. Leave it all on the weights and continue with the rest of your day, the rest of your week, or whatever it is.
That's what I explained to Logan. I'm like, once I walk in the gym, she thinks, I wish she can like get in my brain and notice what I do, because mm-hmm. I really switch off my brain when I work out. It's gone.
Got to.
I think of nothing on the outside. I don't care if someone call me. If it's important, they'll text me and be like, hey, I really need help or something. Then I'll answer.
Right.
Other than that, it's just light. Everything's gone.
Me and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Me and myself.
So it's like a straight commitment, but that's good. Like, it takes, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks. Other people see change in you, but it takes 6 weeks for you to see your own physical change.
Right.
So it's, like you said, you can still look at yourself in the mirror, but just don't be so hard on yourself, I guess. You're still doing what you got to do.
All right.
You're still getting in there.
When you're in the gym,
mm-hmm.
how do you, like you said, you switch it off, like your brain switches off and it's just you in the gym, nobody else is there with you but mm-hmm. you. What if this makes sense? Because I know I do it. How do you, or who are you when you're in the gym? Are you still Jamal or are you somebody else? Do you become a different person? Because for me, when I'm in the gym, mm-hmm. I'm no longer Tyrell. I am the world's greatest MMA fighter, or I'm the second string point guard coming off the mm-hmm. bench, and I'm training myself for, if I'm the MMA fighter, I'm training myself for that next fight. I have 6 months to train myself so that I can keep my belt.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not starting. I started my high school year. I started in college, but now I'm in the pros and I'm coming off the bench.
Yeah.
I need my starting spot back. So now I'm training to prepare myself to get my starting position position back. Excuse me. So it makes me go harder mm-hmm. than I would if I was just going to the gym to get in shape, or if I'm going to the gym just to say I'm working out. Like it's a goal there, but it's not even a goal that I'm actually trying, because I'm not trying to fight nobody. And I'm not playing in the pros. But
in your head, you're telling yourself this is how I'm gonna train. Like I am about to go fight someone or play.
Exactly. Do you become somebody else like that too, or do you just go and say, I'm already a trainer, so I need to train to stay in shape? Or do you train because you're the next Thor? You're the next mm-hmm. Black Thor for this next movie? Or like, what perspective do you have when you go into the gym, if any? Or do you think that should be something that you could start and see if your results are different?
I could try it, but now what I think pretty much when I walk in there is I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher.
That's what I think when I go in there at this point. Because so many people ask me, hey, why are you doing this workout? Or what you doing this for? And they look at me from a distance, and I see that they probably have a question or something, and I get a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it's probably a teacher when I think in there, because what I do is I look up something, figure it out, the science behind it, and I go to the gym and try it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think in my head. I'm like, all right, this chemistry, like, how's this going to work? How's this going to make me look? Let me try it. How do I look in a week? All right, cool. It look fine. It looks, this is doing this kind of result. So I think pretty much in my head while I'm working out, it's pretty much
you're Mr. Miyagi.
Teacher, pretty much, yeah.
Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Because I don't think about sports and stuff like that.
No. And I guess that's easier for me since I always play sports. Mm-hmm. I mainly use the fighting aspect of mm-hmm. it, and not just for the training or, you know, for the gym,
yeah.
but for life as well, yeah. because you're fighting life mm-hmm. every day.
Now, in life, I think about myself as a CEO, but a leader.
In the gym?
Outside the gym.
I was referring to in the gym.
Oh, in the gym, yeah.
You know, I'm training as a fighter mm-hmm. because in life, you're fighting too. You know, you're, mm-hmm. if you get punched in the mouth by life, some people quit and don't get back up. And that's mm-hmm. how they begin to fail and fail and fail and fail and yep. fail. But when I'm in the gym, I'm training as if I'm fighting life also, because we are. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if you don't wake up and go to work that day because you was tired or because yesterday whooped your butt,
then life's not going to be on the day.
Exactly. Exactly. So I not only do I train as a fighter in the gym, prepare myself for that next, you know, fight, but mm-hmm. I'm also training myself in the gym for fighting life and preparing myself for the obstacles and the demons and the battles that have come towards me in life as well too. True. Yeah, so
I'm gonna start thinking of it like
yeah,
that.
Man. Yeah, man. And it's funny that I take it that deep, but it helps me, bro. It yeah. helps me go to the gym and actually really have a reason for why I'm in the gym mm-hmm. than just trying to say I want abs for the summertime. Mm-hmm. Like it's deeper than that. It's deeper than just having abs for the summertime. Because when the wintertime comes, then what?
Yeah,
you're not gonna work out no more.
I'm gonna go outside.
Like, yeah. yo, I still need to train because I have another fight these next 6 months too coming in November,
mm-hmm.
or I have life that's trying to knock me down and put me, you know, wherever. So you gotta. For me, it's mentally preparing myself. You know, in a weird way, it might be weird to some, but it's not weird to me. But actually, physically going to do the work too.
Because that's kind of how I think of the weights anyway. Like if I lift heavy, these are all my problems on all these weights here. So when I pick them up, I'm going to pick them up.
Right.
And if I can't pick it up this day, all right, I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm going to get you. You're going to come. I'm going to get you. I'm going to work. I'm going to work every little step around. Like, say I deadlift 600. Didn't pick 600 up that day.
Right.
All right, cool. I got you. I'm going to go and do all the accessory work to get my deadlift up. Next week, I'm coming back to 600. See 600 right in the face. Pick it up.
Exactly.
So that's kind of, I kind of see it like that. That's how I look at it.
And that could be the same thing, like I said, taking it back to the fight, the MMA fight. Mm-hmm. That 600-pound fight was a person who defeated you,
mm-hmm.
but so now you had to go back through the realms of beating this person,
and then come
get
back
you
to
a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
I got you this rematch, though.
Yep.
And you know, you got to think in boxing. It's sometimes it's 3-4 rematches of the same exact people fighting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he won two, he won one.
Dude, look at Conor McGregor.
Right.
How many times he had a fight around? He lost a few times, but he was like, okay, I'm gonna go. He sat in the gym. Even when he was broke, he'll sit in the gym and keep fighting until he kept winning. So yeah,
and it's a good way to look at it. Like, so if you don't look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
if the gym is not fun to you, look at it as a way where life is beating you or life is, you know, has you defeated, and use the gym as the way to conquer that.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, like you said earlier, if you can make this commitment and achieve that, you could use that for everything else in life.
Mm-hmm.
So if the gym is the way for you to conquer your defeats or to conquer your failures or to conquer where you're not succeeding, use that avenue first and mm-hmm. then allow that to, okay, I done did this for 6 months and I see these results. Now apply that towards your credit score. Apply that towards, yep. you know, getting out of debt. Apply that towards your marriage. Apply mm-hmm. that towards, you know, your businesses or whatever it is that you may seem like you're losing in.
Mm-hmm.
Start somewhere. Like you said, small. Fitness is small for you. Start there. Make those accomplishments. Make the, you know, conquer those hurdles. And then apply those same, you know, things that you use in that realm to everything else. Yep. And you'll start seeing your life change. But you gotta be committed. Mm-hmm. Be committed to the process. Be committed to doing it day by day, slow by slow. And when you don't see results, to keep moving keep going forward.
Yep. Put it in your head like, keep okay, moving forward. I did my best. I'm gonna come back tomorrow. Yes. I'm gonna do it again, or right. come back the next time. Do it again. Yeah, don't be beating yourself up for it.
It's all a process, man. The process does not happen overnight unless mm-hmm. you just get lucky. And it's very rare that you're gonna get lucky in anything that you commit yourself to.
Luck only runs out.
And that's true too. That's true.
Luck
too.
Only runs out. It's commitment and too. Hard work at that point.
Yeah, you got to. Mm-hmm. You got to. So. Man, thank you for talking to me about commitments today. Mm-hmm. I had fun. Is there anything else you want to leave the people about commitments? Anything that sticks out to you or anything that makes you say, I'm committed as Jamal?
No, I think that's it.
You got it.
What I want to say is that if anything in this podcast helped you or anything, we don't charge a fee. Just if it helped you, tell somebody else to listen to it so to see yes, if it'll help
please,
them.
Please.
Just spread, make the family bigger. We just want to help a lot more people. That's all.
Listen to the words, man. We love you. As you learn, we learn. Because mm-hmm. we're learning every day. We want you to learn with us, man. So we just want to say thank you again for tuning into the podcast today. You can check us out on Instagram and Facebook at Tyrell_and_Jamal_show. We are also going to upload the videos of the podcast to our YouTube channel. Same thing, Tyrell and Jamal Show. We pray for an amazing week of growth. And we will see you in the next show. God bless. Thank you.